T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on The Ticket. We will take you up until 10 o'clock today. Hope everybody's having a fantastic day on this Friday. So, we know it's getting high time for draft time, Leroy, and you got all these people.
Yep.
They got things to say. Everybody's got opinions. They got takes, all that nonsense. But one person who they continue to put on this television, I don't understand it, all right? I just don't get it. Because he stinks. He stinks. And it's not to say he doesn't go on he doesn't do broadcasting well. He's able to do that. The guy was a former agent. He's a slick talker. And I'm talking about Mike Tannenbaum. Basically, guy basically weaseled his way into the Dolphins' front office gig, where he's basically sitting next to Stephen Ross at games. Hey, Rossi, Stephen Ross, baby, what's up? Mikey T here. All that type of stuff to get himself sidled into the gig. But yesterday, you know, he's given some takes. He's assigned to distribute some takes. And one that he delivers was on, of course, Tua Tagovailoa, who's saying that he's 100% healthy. Now, apparently, Leroy, this is the new news on Tua, that he did a voluntary medical check with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that they came out overly positive, the results for everybody. They got the overwhelmingly positive, given independent doctor selected by NFL team physicians, overwhelmingly positive Tua Tagovailoa's medical rechecks. So that was good news to hear if you're a Dolphin fan and you want Tua. But here is Mike Tannenbaum, who said that taking Tua would be irresponsible by an NFL team.
This is an injury and a part of the body that's not well vascularized. It's hard to predict how it's going to come back in terms of 2 months from now, 6 months from now. And let's all hope he has the career and it looks like things are going in the right direction. But when you look at the guaranteed money in the top 10, $35 million plus, without having your own staff be able to examine him, I could not look our owner in the eye in good conscience and say this is a responsible thing to do for our organization this year.
Now listen. Listen, a couple things here, Leroy. A couple things.
What's up?
First of all, he starts off his take with vascularly.
Yeah.
Flag right there. Don't use words like that, all right, Tannenbaum? That's a word you say that nobody says in regular conversation to make yourself sound more well-versed on...
Stay in your lane. Procedure.
Stay in your lane, bro. You're going out to... This does not vascularly heal well, pituitary gland, and... right with cartilage and bone marrow and whatnot. No. I could see that. I could see through that a mile away, Leroy. The second thing is irresponsible and can't look my owner in the eye. You're talking about Mr. Salary Cap Napalm himself. Can't look my owner in the eye. Bro, who has burned through more owners' credit cards than you, Mike T? Who? I'd love to know. Can't look my owner in the eye. I can look my owner in the eye paying $100 million to a guy who doesn't get sacks, but I can't look him in the eye taking a quarterback who might be a star. This guy is so wishy-washy when it comes to this type of stuff. The other thing is, I heard him yesterday on ESPN. He's talking about, Joe Burrow, he's number one. What happened to Justin Herbert? I thought you were Mr. Herbert. You were like the guy who, if I had to take one guy to build my franchise around, Justin Herbert's the guy. Now all of a sudden you're on Joe Burrow. Make up your mind, Mike Tannenbaum. So when I heard this, Leroy, yesterday, that he's out on Tua, I've never been more in on Tua now that I know Mike Tannenbaum is out. I'm doubling in. Trust me. I'm in when it comes to this.
Mike yeah.
It would be irresponsible with vascular injury. Shut up.
I would say this. First of all, if any other person were to say that, you wouldn't be saying that, right? But the problem is that it's him.
That's right, bad messenger.
I do believe that in some instances he does have a point. And that point is this. If you draft a quarterback that high with the knowledge that you have, would it be irresponsible? Because you haven't been able to work him out. You haven't been able to do the things that are required to determine if he's healthy or not. All you have is what he's telling you. And I can tell you right now, I don't think there's a player that would say that he's, oh, no, it's going to be a minute. You know that player? No.
No.
So from that standpoint, I think he does have some valid points. But you, as head of Team Petty, you're not going to validate any of his opinions because
that's right.
Him.
Yeah, you're right. You want to know something? I'm not. Hold your responsibility. You want to tell me something? You want to tell me about any other type of characterization you want of drafting a quarterback? Maybe I'll hear you out. But you're going to go on a segment and you're going to tell me I couldn't look my owner in the eye and call it responsible. Bro, what are we talking about here? This guy, he's like a college kid who gets their parents' credit card first semester of their own, racking up the charges. I can't look my owner in the eye? Dude, who goes and spends more money than this guy? He goes, ooh. Could you imagine giving him the clean slate that Chris Greer was given this time? He would have given Jadeveon Clowney $25 million a year.
And that can't be disputed.
No way.
He's what we call a splash GM.
Splash. He
need
is
to make a splash.
My guy goes to the pool party. He takes his shirt off, puts the goop on his nose, and he does a cannonball right off the diving board if they were still allowed, which we learned this week they are not. But theoretically, the money diving board, he jumps in there like Scrooge McDuck, you know, doing the backstroke.
Right.
Ugh. And I'll tell you another thing that sold me on this. So I saw a little piece in the Boston Globe talking about some cahoots between the Patriots and the Lions doing a little trade up, and the Patriots giving some vets up for them to go up and get Tua. Let me tell you something right now. I'm going to tell you something right now, Leroy.
Uh-oh.
Everybody who's telling me that it's irresponsible for the Miami Dolphins to draft Tua Tagovailoa, what is your mood going to be? And think about this, Leroy. What is your mood going to be if you learn that the Patriots trade up to go get Tua? That they trade off some Edelman and some chicanery of some nonsense that goes into the fear. They give it to that Keebler elf who likes people to sit up straight in Matt Patricia. They dupe him. They trade up. And they steal your quarterback after they lost Tom Brady to the Buccaneers. How are you going to feel about that move then? You gonna question it, or are you
fine.
Gonna say no? Let me tell you exactly how you're gonna feel, because I know exactly how you're gonna feel. If they do that, your reaction is gonna be, "They'll know something that we don't."
No.
Yes, it will be. Come on.
If you make a sound decision, right? If you make a sound decision and it doesn't work out, You can always hang your hat on that. Like, so you're saying if you see that the Patriots have interest, now you want him even more?
What I say is, if I see the Patriots have interest, I think it's time that we should stop talking about that what the Miami Dolphins doing is stupid, that he might be a really good player and worth it. So if you're going to allow...
Because the Patriots do it, right?
Yes.
Didn't they draft Osweiler?
No. They drafted... You keep confusing tall white guys. It was Ryan Mallett.
Ryan Mallett.
Yeah.
First round, right?
No.
Second... It was high. Top of the second round.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Ryan Mallett. I think he fell quite far because of some pre-draft rumors. He was a ugly dude. Third round pick.
Okay.
Third round pick.
All right.
Ryan Mallett.
Okay. Like, again, how'd that work out? Like, I'm not, dude, man.
Whoa.
You're in a different here.
Wait.
Hold on. Let's be clear.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Let's be clear. The Patriots could do something like that. They're in a different place. Mm-hmm. This organization, as of right now, doesn't really have any credibility. It's Dolphins. Just because of the years. Huh?
The Dolphins?
The Dolphins.
Okay.
The Dolphins. And so if you were to make the same move that the Patriots make, if it doesn't work out, you look like the clowns of the NFL. Where if the Patriots make the same move, it'll be like, they gave it a swing. You can't do that. You're not in a position to do that.
You can.
No, you can't.
You can. If you step into the batter's box.
Look, the whole point of this is to not be the clowns of the NFL anymore. The way you start that is by making sound, responsible decisions when it comes to players.
Disagree.
You can't just keep swinging for the fences. Let me ask you a question. How are you any different than Mike Tannenbaum?
How am I different?
Yeah. If you do whatever you can to get to who you don't even know is going to be healthy.
Here's how I'm different from Mike Tannenbaum. I acknowledge who I am. All right? I know who I am as a person and comfortable with who I am as a person. I'm not going to tell people, don't be hot take Charlie. Don't go on a radio show and say wild things. That'd be more sound with your takes. That would be like me going and doing a talk in front of college kids and telling you guys, let me tell you something. You want to have sound radio thoughts, things that are thought out. All right. You don't want to just say things to get a reaction. That would be hollow. That's not true. I'm the guy who ate a street bird. I jumped in front of the American Airlines Arena in front of in a kangaroo outfit. How could I lie to these people? So Mike Tannenbaum giving me the message to be responsible is ridiculous. Did he go to a salary cap rehab step program that I'm unaware of? How not to spend a gazillion dollars on a guy who doesn't get you any stats? So I know. And by the way, I disagree with your point. If you have a 3-0 count, if D. Gordon goes and takes a porn hack and Giancarlo Stanton takes a porn hack, I respect it either way if they get the pitch their way.
No,
even if Giancarlo Stanton has more responsibility.
No.
Even if Stanton has more responsibility hitting that home run. I respect D. Gordon.
I can't believe you just gave an example and then boxed yourself in with that example.
Nope.
D. Gordon's job is to get on base. All right? Giancarlo Stanton is to hit home runs. So if he gets a big old meatball for a 3-0 pitch and he takes a hack at it, you view that totally different than if D. Gordon takes a hack at it, because his job is to get on base and steal bases.
Meatball's a meatball.
No.
Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Nobody puts baby in a box like Tobin.
So as far as headlines are concerned, Khabib Nurmagomedov, he said yesterday on ESPN that UFC is being unprofessional with not giving him a location. If they gave him a location right now and he could get out of Russia, he'd fight. But it sounds very unlikely. I saw some quotes from Dana White to ESPN, not to ESPN, to Yahoo Sports, where he's like, everybody knew Khabib wasn't going to be on the card. I'm like, we did? I thought that was the whole point of doing it.
Well, once he heard, and here's the problem. Here's when you act out of haste, because soon as the word got out that Khabib couldn't get out of Russia because the borders were closed, Dana just, okay, he's out, and moved on the second he heard that. Whereas he should have put everything else in order first and then saw what were the chances of Khabib getting out of Russia. But he never did that.
I feel like Khabib could get out of Russia if he wanted to. He's boys.
Well, he said, yeah, but nobody waited to see whether he could actually do it.
Right. And but I also agree with Nurmagomedov that it is unprofessional and he should be able to know where he's fighting. It's just nobody's agreeing.
He's the champ.
Yeah, here's the nitty-gritty of it. No one's agreeing to hold this fight. Like, right? Like, that's really what it comes down to. Nobody is agreeing to host this fight.
It's kind of one of those things like we were talking about Myers Leonard, right? Tony Ferguson could be a badass because this fight ain't going to happen.
Right.
So he could talk all the trash he wants to Khabib, to whoever. I'll fight anywhere. I'll fight tomorrow. I want a championship so bad because it ain't going to happen. So he looks like a good dude, where, not to me, because you being a badass over a fight that wasn't never going to happen don't mean you a badass.
Some other news. Ed Orgeron, and this is just it's sad news. Love is dead, Leroy. Ed Orgeron and Mrs. Orgeron are divorcing.
Really?
Yep. After 23 years of marriage, Ed Orgeron apparently has been living away from his wife for the last month. And they are getting divorced.
You think she said 23 years? Understand the damn word you were saying?
Maybe.
Man, I don't know. Maybe Ed Orgeron is, I don't know, man. Let me tell you, a coach's life, if you're married to a coach, you're in it. You're in it. You might as well be a coach. Because the hours are ridiculous. It's time consuming. You're required to be that his wife. I mean, yeah,
is it possible that perhaps the Tiger groupies got a little bit too hot and heavy this year with all the success?
I'm not ruling it out.
I'm not ruling it out either. Like, but, maybe, and I. What would a champion coach in LSU, how does that play ladies wise down in Louisiana?
A whole bunch of Vicky Valancourts.
Oh, well, Mama don't know, won't hurt her.
Yeah.
No, he's getting it.
Oh, I mean,
I would say this, if. They're deciding to get divorced. It's been longer than a month.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And plus, man, you getting divorced during a coronavirus?
I know. Well, they say in China the divorces are spiking.
Yeah.
They're going crazy. But apparently they've been leading up to this for a while. This isn't like just
right. That's what I'm saying. Quarantine. This was before he won a national championship. It was leading that way. And sometimes, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes you're in a relationship and you think that you have, you know, the lock on a person because you've been there through the long haul and, you know, you guys had a great relationship and you been through it thick or thin or whatever, the moving, all these things, the kids. And then you get in a situation where now, this person you've had all the support of, everybody loves. And you think that maybe you should be appreciated more, but everybody else is appreciating your partner to the point where, like, you're just on the back shelf.
Yeah, it was
and it was building because, look, soon as Ed Orgeron got that coaching job, it's been all Ed Orgeron all the time.
He's a big star.
I don't know, Brad, though, man. Being the wife of the head coach at LSU is a pretty sweet life.
No, I look, I'm saying, but guess what? Like, you're the wife of the head coach at LSU, but you still taking a back seat to everything else going on.
Right.
And if you can handle that, then fine. But look around coaching. Look around coaching. Look at all the, you know, the situations in coaching. With Mr. Coke Fiend down here, they were still married. But Forrester, they were still married, right?
Yep.
But they were living, she was living in Orlando.
Right.
So, like, yeah, man, it's
and
a tough
life. And then some dictator like Nick Saban. Nick Saban's wife reportedly, remember, she reportedly hated it in Miami, that she wanted to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And Nick Saban, you know, Nick Saban's like, all right, we'll get the hell out of here.
It's a tough life. And when people get divorced, like, especially in that situation, like, I always look and go, whew, man, it's tough. Couldn't make it. You know, I don't hold nothing against either one of them. It is a tough, tough life for both the coaches. He feels torn because he knows the work he has to put in to be a head football coach. At the same time, he wants to be, you know, a dad and stuff like that. And there's not enough time in the day. And then you look at the wife, the kids, they want their dad around. They want their husband around. They want to do the things that normal families do. And that's not possible. It's tough. Some couples make it and some couples don't. Just think of all the coaches that, you know, how much they move, how much they travel, how many times they switch teams and they got a wife and a family. And that's why a lot of them turn jobs down.
Sure. You can text show 67974. One guy's moving into a big-ass mansion in Tampa, courtesy of Marlins owner Derek Jeter. We'll tell you about that next. All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on the ticket. In about an hour's time, we'll get you Robbie's Magnificent Seven. See what the hell he pulls out of his you-know-what to get you some gambling advice over the weekend. I don't know what it could possibly be. Last week, he was doing, like, Madden simulations. It was getting out of control, Leroy. Getting out of hand when it came to RTD.
Texas, I wonder what he's...
Good.
You know, there's always horse racing.
I mean, yeah, I guess there is. They had the Florida Derby with nobody there last week, right?
But you know what? To me, it's more amazing that all the people that actually do the analytical work for, you know, TVG and all that, they're like doing it from home. And it's hilarious.
So we got news yesterday, Leroy, that Tom Brady is renting Derek Jeter's mansion in Tampa Bay.
Yeah?
Yep. That he is going to be living there in Tampa. He decided, I need a place to live that is worthy of Tom Brady. The only person in Tampa that probably has a place that's big enough for that is Derek Jeter. I mean, and his place is big. Like, I'm looking at pictures of this thing. It's exactly how you think it would be. Seven bedrooms, 27,000 square feet. Jeter built it himself. Built it in 2011. It's the biggest mansion in the area, and he's gonna have a bunch of big neighbors from the Lightning, apparently. Whatnot. I gotta imagine that his house is way bigger than anybody on the Lightning. But this is look, I think if you're Jeets, you only rent that mansion to certain people, and Tom Brady is probably worthy of living in your mansion. I don't think he's letting anybody, you know, like, I don't think Nick Foles is allowed to rent Derek Jeter's mansion. You think that's one of those things too, where when they were having the dinner, like, does Jeter cut Tom Brady a break when it comes to the rent? Or does Tom Brady got to pay in full?
No, pay in full.
First and last?
First and last.
Wow.
Probably
and a deposit?
Give him what? 27,000 square feet.
You get no bro cut, no bro rate?
Yeah, no, nope. Yeah, no bro rate?
I'm guessing he's paying 50,000.
A couple of guys that got 11 championships between them, and Tom Brady can't go, hey, man.
50,000 a month at least.
Jeez, wow.
Zillow might estimated that if he were, like, regularly, it would be 44,000 a month.
If what now?
If Zillow said that they did an estimation for a place like that, just for regular places like that, it would be 44,000 a month.
Yeah, so I was close. Yeah.
So he doesn't get like, Tom can't say, come on, Jeets, like, let's make it 25K a month, buddy. Let's go.
No.
I'm Brady, you're Jeets.
Dude, he was living up there. So he's got to move out.
He's not living there now, though. He's living in Miami. He owns the Marlins.
He was up there. 50,000.
He should be down here, though. He should. Look, Jeter's not supposed to be using that home. He should be down here, which I think he is. He's living down in Miami. So, you know, he's just got this giant palace in Tampa. He's not doing anything with it. So Brady doesn't get a Brady gets no breaks.
Nope. Probably wow. Already paid for.
Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, they are super rich, and Brady did just get, what, $60 million?
Who's worth more? Brady's worth more than Jeter, right?
It depends, I think, if you count the Boonchin money.
No, I'm not counting that.
All right, so you just want – I think we did this. Jeter is worth more. Tom Brady net worth is $180 million. And Derek Jeter, this is according to Google. Jeter is, let's see, net worth. They're close. 180. No, Jeter is 200 million.
Okay.
So Jeter was slightly more. Maybe right. Not anymore now that Brady's got that last deal to sweeten the pot. And then, of course, you know, he's got that Boonchin money who's worth worth more than both of them combined.
That's crazy.
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 Yep. Super rich. So no discount, huh? Because, you know, like,
no.
Like Hassan Whiteside's not giving the Leonards a discount. He's like, oh, you're going to pay what it's going to, whatever I need you to pay. But I don't imagine there's like some center bromance there. I imagine with
you ready
Brady,
for this?
Brady and Jeter, I feel like there should be a bromance.
I'd be willing to bet that. This is how the phone call happened.
Hello?
Jeets, what's up?
Hey, man. What's going on?
We rented your house. Somebody came in and gave us the money to rent the house. It's going to be and they probably tell you got to rent it for a minimum of 12 months or 6 months.
Right.
So they say, oh, yeah. Who rented it? Tom Brady. Okay. I'll hit him up. That's it. He ain't handling that.
So Jeter doesn't get the call. He's not handling the real estate himself?
No. No.
I figured Jeter might have wanted an easier sell than anything he's got to do down here.
No. They have realtors and they deal with it. Think about this. There is no other person besides the owner of that organization that can afford to do what Brady just did.
No. Definitely not.
No, I don't care how much money. The highest paid guy on the team can't do that. There's no player. Who am I guessing? I'm trying to think in football. Who could do that? Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, there's
Aaron
not
Rodgers,
a bunch.
Russell Wilson could do it now.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
He just got the money. He just got it.
So when Russell Wilson's on the back end, he can go rent Ken Griffey's mansion in Seattle?
Yep. Yep, but not right now.
I mean, in all honesty, yeah. Brady maybe Brady's hitting up, maybe Gisele Bündchen didn't want to be in Tampa. You know, maybe she wanted to be somewhere else. And he goes, well, let me get you the nicest house in Tampa. It belongs to Derek Jeter. You're welcome, Gisele.
All right.
Maybe that's what went down. I don't know. I'm just saying. I saw that. I was like, it's kind of weird. Like, how often do you have two great champions, like they're going to be living in, they've been living in the same spot basically. It's a strange thing. But do you think Jeter at any point, if you build a place like that, you know, because he hasn't had it that long. Was he had it less than 10 years? He built it in 2011. Do you think there's at some point where Jeter is like, man, I don't want to do this Miami thing. I want to be living in my palace in Tampa.
Oh, because remember out in San Fran or in California, Brady had a house with a moat.
Oh, that's right. A moat.
So I don't think they ever lived in it.
That's pretty wild. Because there's got to be like at a certain point, if you're that rich and famous, how many people can buy your house?
I don't know.
Like especially ones who want to live in Tampa.
They sold it.
To who? Oh, the Bradys?
Yeah.
They were in that was Northern California though, right?
Right.
I feel like that's easier than Tampa. It's like LeBron has that mansion in Akron. No one's ever going to buy that.
No.
It's impossible.
Yeah, no, they'll buy it. Of course.
Who's going to buy a palace like that first, in Akron, Ohio?
First of all, keep in mind, a house that big in Akron costs 10% of what Jeter's house is worth.
Because of where it is?
Yeah.
But who costs needs a living? Understood. Who needs the a house that living. Big? But who wants a house that big in Akron?
There's people that have money
that in that live area. In Akron?
Dude, look, think about this. Somebody who's worth 50 or 60 million, right? In the Akron, Canton, even like it's only 45 minutes from Cleveland, an hour from Cleveland. Not that big of a deal, right? But 2.5 million on a house, 3 million, 4 million, that's not that big of a deal.
Yeah,
it cost you 60 million down here.
It's 9.2 million.
Okay.
9.2 million for Akron, and this thing is just as big as Jeter's place.
Right.
It looks like it.
That's like I said, a third of the price. How much is Pretty Jeter's nice. House worth? 27 Ooh. Million?
Let me see.
I think it's 25, 26 million.
Let's see. Derek Jeter Mansion. This is 7.7.
Jeter's house?
Yep.
Only 7.7 million?
Yep.
Wow. That's a little high.
Upset?
No, I would say how big are the houses? You can build more for your buck.
According to this, it's 30,000. They're both 30,000 square feet.
There ain't no way in hell a 30,000 square foot house in Florida is $7 million. I promise you.
That's what it says,
Say
man.
That to it's, yourself. It doesn't even sound right.
I'm reading it right now. It says Tom Brady. This is the headline. Tom Brady rents Derek Jeter's $7.7 million 30,000 square foot Tampa mansion.
Nope.
On exclusive
Dude.
Island after joining Dude. The Bucks.
Say all that stuff and then say $7 million for a 30,000 square foot house in Florida?
That's what it says.
Get out of here.
That's what it says. Maybe
That's
Jeter
a lie.
Had like the...
It's a really? Lie.
It's a lie.
No chance. A
on
lie.
On the water, too.
It's one on the water. 100% wrong. Dude, there's tiki huts down here in Miami that cost more than that on the water. Get out
it's
of
Tampa,
here.
Tampa, though.
Okay. I'm getting no way.
Apparently, apparently the Bradys are trying to, Brady and Buchan are trying to sell their Massachusetts mansion for $40 million.
There you go. Think about that. And guess what?
$40 million.
I'm going to get you all the money in the world that their Boston mansion is not as big as that house.
Oh, no. I'm looking at it right now. Not even close.
Right. Somebody like said Tampa is the. Somebody said Tampa is the Cleveland of Florida.
I mean, that's just great. We're back after this.
We got the refugees. No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
I never really knew that she could dance like this. She make a man want to speak Spanish.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on 790 The Ticket. My son just woke up, Leroy. He's giving me the old, what's up? What's up, buddy? Morning. Show me his little, yeah, you can watch TV. Go wake her up.
Hey, so they said check out Tiger Woods Mansion in Florida for $54 million.
Oh yeah, I mean that place up there. That's where if you're wealthy, you got a place up in there, up in Jupiter, Palm Beach, all that stuff.
Here's all you need to know about Tiger's Mansion. He tore down the guest house and rebuilt it. That was 5,000 square feet.
Jeez.
The guest house.
So, that's crazy. But yeah, that Tampa, that's what it's worth, man. People are saying Tampa's way cheaper than South Florida. It's just different. And seeing all the bells and whistles that that LeBron has on this Cleveland or this Akron mansion, I think that's probably why. I still don't understand it. Like, I feel like anything that's on an island in Florida would be worth more than something in Akron, but he is LeBron bleeping James, so I mean he's gonna soup it up as much as possible. Now I think the one in LA is worth like four times what it is in Cleveland.
Of course. But that's what I'm saying. Like you're telling me a house in Akron costs more than a house on an island in Tampa?
That's what it says. I can only go by what the internet tells me, Leroy.
Here, the price, let's put it this way. The price of the house doesn't fit what they're paying for rent. You're not renting a $7 million house for $44,000.
Very crazy. This hit me one, Leroy. You know, we were talking about the coronavirus and, you know, just the thing that's scary about it is just all the lack of information we have. And I think one of the other things that's just really scary about it is just the way it seems to hit certain people compared to others, like without a rhyme or reason of why it just it hits people a certain way than it, more severely than it does others. Because I was reading this story about Tony Boselli, who Jaguars legend, Hall of Fame finalist, you know, scared Jason Taylor to death when he was playing for the Miami Dolphins. And nobody liked going against Tony Boselli. He was a monster.
Yeah.
So, you know, Tony Baselli's 47 years old. His wife is 47. And they both tested positive for coronavirus. And the crazy thing was that, you know, he was saying that her symptoms were not severe at all. No fever. Never had to be hospitalized. But like Tony Baselli's saying, like he was on death's doorstep, man. Like he was in ICU for 5 days. They had to open up his lungs and stuff like that because he could barely breathe.
Jeez.
Yeah, man. Like you're talking about a guy, a former professional athlete. Like he said, has no lying health problems. He's lost, you know, like a lot of linemen has lost a ton of weight. Doesn't look like, you know, like he was ever a left tackle. He's like one of those. So he's like, for whatever reason, COVID-19 buried me and did nothing to her. Obviously, she's much tougher than I am, as she had 7 to 10 days where she didn't feel like herself, but her symptoms were mild. And I could still feel that my lungs aren't all the way back. I had no fever. The cough is under control. I get tired quicker. And I'm just starting to answer emails. It was one of those things where he says the second... the worst was my second day in ICU where they upping my oxygen levels. That was the lowest, scariest moment because I had no family around me. I can't remember exactly what the doctor said. Something about the machine needing to go to another level for more oxygen if it didn't work. Whatever drugs they were giving me and the combination of the oxygen, it got me to where I needed to be. I had to find out what the next level was. But he said that he started feeling it at a golf club where he was starting to feel it. So he had to give... you know, notice to the country club that he tested positive. And so that's how a lot of people started finding out that he was in the hospital and dealing with this kind of stuff, even though he didn't want to go public with it. Because I know one national NFL writer revealed that, even though Tony Boselli didn't want it out there until he spoke to the Florida Times Union and his radio station 1010 XL. But that's really scary, man. You know, you're talking about two people in the same household, probably are there on the same virus strain, and one is One is barely able to breathe, and as he says, you know, having the disease bury him, and then the other one, it's just like, yeah, no biggie, nothing.
Right.
It's weird.
I mean, that's the problem with this thing, is that everybody could have the same virus, and have a number of different reactions to it, and you have to taper it in how you treat it, what people go to the hospital to get treatment. A lot of the symptoms you can just treat and it'll go away. And then there's some people who all of a sudden get violently ill. Right. And there's no explanation. I don't think, you know, they have an idea of who's more susceptible to those things. But it doesn't mean that if you fall into that category that you are excluded from the serious side of this. So everybody has to be careful.
Yeah, so it's good to see Tony Baselli's feeling a lot better. And then I'm laughing at this Christian Wood from the Pistons. He tweeted out after he was finished with his quarantine. He says, beat that Rona. So good for him.
Look, I think everybody's a little stir crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's okay. It's okay with, you know, making light of a situation, but taking it serious. And I think, you know, we find, you know, it makes us chuckle when people, you know, have little, you know, say things like that. But the most important thing is that we understand the seriousness of it.
Yep.
And so although we're making light of it, understand that, you know, we still got a ways to go.
Well, you know who's dealing with it? Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Exotic got hospitalized.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he ain't exactly the peak. Like, if you were to tell me, like, see, just going on his face, not knowing what's what, I would just feel like coronavirus would hit Joe Exotic a lot worse than it would Tony Baselli. Joe right. Exotic doesn't exactly look like he's been taking his vitamins.
Right. Or working out.
Right.
Or he already has to walk around with a brace on, right? Because of the.
Because of the tiger attack?
No.
What's
he walks around with that brace from. Remember when he was a kid and he tried to drive his car off the road?
I thought that that was gone, though. I thought that tiger, I felt like during the documentary that brace showed up, like, because he got,
no,
he wears it, tiger.
He wears it on and off.
No, it was during the suicide attempt when he was younger.
When he was younger, and he,
yeah, I remember that, but I thought when he said brace, I thought that was with his back and all that. Or was that his dude with the no legs?
That's the dude with the no legs who got an act. That's not the tiger attack, though. That dude got it from doing a,
like,
what do you call it?
A cliff dive or something, right?
No, the zip line.
Zip line, that's right.
And he fell off a zip line.
Didn't your wife just put up a zip line?
You best believe when I was watching it, I was staring at her. She's like, no, mine's different.
Oh, okay.
Really? No. Yours is toting little kids.
And your zip line is a gateway zip line. Like, who knows what these kids are going to want to do? Because I imagine that guy's zip line, maybe it was a little bit more intense, but you know it. Back in the day, he was at some nice lady's zip line that said, ooh, this is fun. Where we can, what can we up this to?
Right. So, yeah. Like, man, I'm like, hey. When she was putting it together, I'm like, I don't know if that's the safest thing. Right? Oh, no, it'll be fun. All
right. It was like our trampoline talk. What's safer, a zip line or a trampoline?
No, you're missing one caveat to that conversation.
Yeah.
Homemade zip line.
I don't even understand what that means. Homemade zip line. Like, she didn't order it from Amazon, or she's screwing it in herself to trees.
She built it. With the tension, with the metal wire, the tension thing, she cranked it up tight, put it in a tree or whatever. Yeah. The whole thing.
It's still up?
No, because let me explain to you something. Now, I'm going to try to keep this as good as I can keep it. But I'm going to just say my people came over for a little get together, right? and all the little kids were going on the thing, right? It was fun. It was great. Then an adult tried to get on it with a kid, and it snapped. Now, I'm not going to throw my people under the bus, but that don't happen with other folks. People always come over to your house, and they have to take it that extra step. So now they got eight people hanging from the rope, and the thing snapped.
Yeah, I can't say that if I didn't get a little bit tipsy at your house so that I wouldn't cause some zipline accident, because I'm definitely trying that thing out.
Yeah, but you wouldn't get on it with Tommy and Sophie and your wife at the same time.
I may have Robbie piggyback on me, and we might go down together.
Oh, Robbie.
We got you caught up with the headlines. Robbie will join us next hour. We'll get his Magnificent Seven. We're back with more after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.